Invite you to turn with me. Amen. You may be seated. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. With me now in your copy of God's Word to Romans in Paul's letter. Last to pick up in our series. The passage was verses 21 to 26. And I really only missed week our scripture passage, the first half of 25. So we pick up where we laid it. To 24, maybe second half of 25 and verse 26. But I will read left off last time, beginning at verse 21. So let's give careful attention. This is the whole context here, errant and infallible word of our God. Let's pay careful attention. The holy and errant. But now the righteousness of God to it, manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear God has been manifestness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, witness to it. The righteous, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For there is no distinct grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ and are justified by his God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be rid of Jesus. Whom God, this was to show God's righteousness received by faith. Forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to, because in his divineness at the present time, so that he might be just, to show his righteousness of the one who has faith in Jesus. And the justifier, word, let's ask his blessing upon it. Thus far, the reading of God's. Lord our God, you are the one who has given this, your word, for purposes, for the edification of your holy purpose, church. Lord, you have gathered us today, your body, your. Lord, would you break this, the bread of life, and feed and, to this, your word. The faith of your people. Would you direct us to Christ, our Savior, nourish and sustain life? And we ask that you would equip us well for service, Savior, the one who is our. Ask all of these things, thankful that you hear us as we bring our prayers before you in your kingdom. Lord, we ask. Amen. In Jesus' name. Whenever a judge renders a judgment, a couple things. One thing, of course, is the status of the one become clear. Are they guilty? Are they innocent? Are they condemned? Or are they accounted judged? But the other thing that becomes evident when a judge renders judgment, righteous judge, is he just or is he unjust? Is the character of the this emphasis on the quality and the character of the judge and his judgment is a topic press over the next several weeks in light of the current vacancy that will be getting a lot of as any nominee to the high court is considered a great deal of on the Supreme Court judgments the judge has rendered in her previous judgments. Scrutiny will be given to the various text. People will want to know whether the decisions rendered from the in our national context, were they consistent? Were they competent? Were in the final analysis, were they bench? Were constitutional? Were they, in the judgments rendered, we learn much about the character. We see a similar dynamic in the judgments of King Sutter of the judge. A king in Israel, he was at times called upon to render Solomon as various cases, the executive, judicial, and the legislative branch, a judgment on very distributed as we have them in our own day. Sometimes the king, him branch, not so making would be judging, and so you remember himself would be would 1 Kings. Chapter 3, verse 28. Remember, perhaps in for settling this dispute, and his wisdom is on display when Solomon is settling two prostitutes regarding the true identity of a child. He judges in this matter, but once after he makes his judgment, is that all Israel heard of the judgment that the king held, and the response of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him, the king had rendered, and they stood in awe. And so the judgment rendered reveals to us something to do justness, the just character of the judge, of the righteousness, the just. 25 and 26 of Romans chapter 3 turn our attention. Well, verses 20, the demonstration of the judge's righteousness in the judgment to this very thing. When he judges one guilty or not guilty, that he rendered the righteous judge that he is. He is shown to be, just again to put things in context, last week in verses 21 to now, last week, to the righteousness of God, as 24, we gave attention, talked at various times about a distinction when we're talking about the righteousness of a gift, or you can speak of that as an attribute. And in verses 21 to 24, we gave it to God. Sometimes you can speak of that as a gift, a free gift of his grace to sinners, a gift, attention to the righteousness of God and faith alone. But now in verses 25 and 26, gift that is received by the coin. Here we learn something of the character of the one who gives. We see the other side of the righteousness. And not surprisingly, he is right. Gives this gift of right. And that is evident in the judgment that he renders. But what is righteous is that this judge is shown to be righteous. He is surprising, is the ungodly, the unrighteous. Even as he justified judgment at the cross, that we come to see both the justice and the grace, and it is in the startling verse, he is just and the justice of God to sinner who has faith in Jesus. Justifier of the one. Now in both verse 25 and 26, Paul speaks of something that took place that serves to show 6. Verse 25 says, this was God's righteousness. Great God's righteousness. And verse 26 says, it was to show or to demonstrate this at the present time. This and it show God's righteousness. Those, that demonstrative pronoun and the pronoun this. What's being referred to is 25 and 26. What's the antecedent? And the pronoun it in verse demonstrates God's righteousness. Well, clearly, Paul, what is it that serves to show the cross of Christ? As is evident by the mention of Christ's blood, is referring to the event of the cross. The blood, of course, is a clear reference to the death on the first part of verse 25. But more specifically, what is in view here is God's putting forward Christ of Christ as an atoning sacrifice for sins by his blood, as a propitiation of Christ, but God's provision in the death. So it's not just the death of sinners. We won't understand how God's righteousness is shown of Christ, God's provision for sinners. Understand that in the cross, God is doing something to cover at the cross unless we understand sins. If we look at the larger the debt of his people, verses 23 and 24, we see that included in the this, your context of this passage, including verse 5, is God's justifying of sinners. Verse 25, glory of God, we read, and are justified, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory, as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God made by his grace, by his blood, to be received by faith. This, all put forward as a propitiation of sinners on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ at the call of this, the justification of God's righteousness. So cross, this was to demonstrate that fell on Jesus and the pardon proclaimed both the judgment together demonstrate God's righteousness to sinners in his name. How is it that the cross of Christ as the basis of our justification demonstrate God as righteous? Well, it demonstrates his righteousness. Serves to demonstrate in relation to a former sin, verse 25, and righteousness, Paul tells us, here and now, in this present time, in this present age. It demonstrates his righteousness here. So notice in your Bibles, notice the temporal aspect according to verse 26. In relation to the past and in relation to the present. Former in both of these verses. Present time. And we want to look at both of these aspects, sins and present. First, in relation to the past, this morning, in his cross, as the basis of our justification, demonstrates God's righteousness. Christ is told to former sins, previously passed over. Righteousness in relation with God. This was to show God's righteousness. And we see this in verse 25. He had passed over former sins. Because in his divine forbearance that he is speaking about here, he's not speaking. Now, what are the former sins? Some pre-conversion days of talking about. He's speaking much more broadly, more corporately of all of any one individual. People before the coming of Christ. In other words, all the sins committed by his, there is a mountain of sins, a heap of sins committed by his people in the ages. Paul is highlighting the fact that their advent that do not meet a just end until prior to Christ's first advent. Christ. And his divine forbearance, God, we're told, the cross of former sins. To forbear here, passed over for executing his justice against such sin. It means that he held back those sins of his saints in ages past to the bar of his. He did not bring their judgment hearing until a future day. Justice, but postpone times where we are given a picture or a foretaste even of God's. Yes, there are times of Israel of old. Think about how the ground opens up, judgment against the sin, travel in the wilderness. Or think about the exile of Israel as they're against the rebellious. These are judgments, scenes that spelled out of the land of promise. These are simply signposts, though, to take place. But they are not the full pouring out of God's wrath against unrighteous judgment to come. On the whole, we learn here that God passed over these former sins with righteousness in their entirety. But again, to qualify out judging them, that he passed over sins is not the same thing in this by that, or to explain that a little bit, to say forgiveness of sins. Passing over is not saying that he forgets context as saying. Rather, to pass over here is a reference to a delay of pain. Gave sins. Did not bring the full weight of his divine justice to bear upon him. That he did of saints in the past. And that's not to say that this on those sins. Experience the forgiveness of God. It's not to say that they didn't truly enjoy. Saints of old did not genuinely be righteous in God's sight. Paul will make very clear in the next. Joy, the status of being was indeed reckoned as righteous before God through faith in God's chapter that Abraham. But understand what Paul is saying here. Abraham's for God's promise. is being declared, his being declared righteous in God's sight, forgiveness in the past work of Christ on the cross. Paul is saying was based upon the future cross, that God's righteousness with regard to former sin, that it is not until the cross manifest. The cross announces sins is now made way, not yet fully manifest before, that God judges, announces in a way all that was passed over in ages past, the sins of his people. At the cross. The sacrificial is paid in full. All of these things were pointers too. They spoke of that forgiveness, but they were the system of the Passover lamb, this judgment event to come. To put it in pointing to, this cross is the gold upon which the current, another way, the event of the cross of former sins is based. The currency of God's forgiveness of the cross is the gold upon which the currency of God's forgiveness of former the event based is grounded. All forgiveness of sins in the past was predicated on sins is of Christ. And Paul is saying that the on the promise a judgment event that satisfies the debt to God's righteousness, the cross constitutes, had accumulated. So that's the first point in verse 25, but which the saints of old does not just demonstrate his righteousness with regard to sins of the past, but notice that the cross righteousness is shown in the present time, in this present age. Here, through the cross, God's righteousness in verse 26. As it says, it was to show his righteousness. And now, and we see this articulated. Now, the mention of the present time is at the present time. It is in contrast to the past, to the former time, the days of the saints of old. On the one hand, but on the other hand, the mention of the present time in verse 26, as we just spoke of, contrast to the future. To the future day of wrath is to be seen in when his righteous judgment will be revealed against all unrighteousness, when God's righteousness speaks of. And the Jews of Paul's day, and Paul himself, as chapter 2, verse 5, looking for a future day judgment, an event to take place at the end of history, we're looking for, waiting for earth would be righted. A day when all injustice would be, in which all that was wrong in the earth, all the righteous vindicated, and all the wicked condemned, judged justly, and all evaded justice in this life would not escape this future day when those who have executes his final judgment. And in that last day, the judge of all the earth will be openly displayed to all. When all the righteousness of God will justly. So there is a future day. Righteousness is judged. Out affirms and has spoken of already. But what Paul is making clear of judgment, that Paul no doubt, that righteous judgment of God that will be unveiled in the last, is that at the cross, into history now in the person and the work of Jesus Christ today, has intruded how in the present time God's righteousness is demonstrated. Christ, such that even now, see, understand that the cross brings into the future judgment of God. The present, then to the present, into the now, that future in time judgment, the cross brings in such that the same righteous character of God that will be ultimately unveiled of God that day is demonstrated and shown forth in this day, in the judgment of that. And what's even more amazing here and now, saying that this righteousness is demonstrated in the present is that Paul identifies sinners through the gospel. A time when he justifies sinners like you and me righteous in his when God declares, it's just made abundantly clear that there is a sight. Go back and read at the beginning of chapter 3. There is no one righteous. There is no one righteous. It would seem that it would be the height of injustice to declare sin not one. So, and indeed it would be if there were no ground for doing so. Sinners righteous. God is trying, is communicating here, what the Holy Spirit is communicating. But what Paul in his word is that Jesus Christ to us here, substitutionary death on the cross, are the grounds for our pardon. Sinless life and substitutiveness is the basis for God accounting us righteous. His righteous Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for sinners, we are counted through faith and righteous in God's sight. Last week we spoke of justification, dead to sin and right. This week we're adding on to it, we're building on to it. It's helpful maybe justification. Remember, what is justification? And our at this point to pause and just that scriptural teaching for us. Justification is, and confession helpfully summarizes, free grace wherein he pardons all our sins and he accepts an act of God's his sight only for the righteousness of Christ, us as righteous in his to our account and received by faith alone, imputed to us, credited doctrine. What a beautiful summary of what's going on in all of this. What a beautiful 1 to 26. This justification, that twofold passage here in verses 21, sins and accepting us, not just pardoning our sin, but accepting us as righteous, pardoning us of all of our that we have done, accepting us as righteous because of who Christ is, not because of the righteous things. And that righteousness is ours through faith is in what he has done. See how all that Paul is saying here in Jesus Christ leads us to a robust doctrine of our union with Christ, assumes or his becomes ours, his righteousness becomes ours, Christ, what is his, in such a transaction by God's grace, our sin becomes our faith in God's good gift to sinners. Oh, this is made through. What a beautiful, beautiful word for us. 26 encapsulates well what Paul has been saying. The end of verse justification, as it says, so that he might be just about the cross and our judgment of the one who has faith in Jesus, that he might, and the justifier. Jesus might be just. Death upon the cross for the sins of his people displays that God is wrath-receiving death as he justifies sinners. How can that be? Is just even as in declaring us righteous in his sight and pardoning all our sins. Well, in justifying us, trampled underfoot or in any way compromised because God has not. God's justice is not true. God has judged our sin in Christ's body on the cross, not ignored sin. Sin of his redeemed people that is not covered by the precious blood of there is no sin that is the life of Christ is reckoned as our own righteousness. Of Christ and the perfect righteousness of faith are vitally united to him. God is just when we by the justifier. If he were a just and without dealing definitively with their sin, he would be unjustifier of the ungodly true to his character. But in fact, he has just. He would be untrue sin. And the cross demonstrates that the wages of sin dealt justly with our sins, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Is death, the cross demonstrates God is just, not leaving sin unjudged. The cross demonstrates that God time at the same event, there demonstrates that the justice of God, but at the same justness, at the same time displays the grace of God to sinners. God against all unrighteous endured, not by us, but by God, because the cross is in the place of sinners. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, God's own Son, for us, so that those who have trusted in him are no longer indebted to undergo the wrath of God, but abound with the riches of his grace. God's justice, the takeaway for us here. What is the that God is just? Paul would have us to know, and the good news of the gospel will in no way deprive God. God is just. Be anything less than the righteous God that he is. Of his justice, or show him to, for religion these days cares little whether God is righteous. Sadly, much that passes so long as he is nice. So long as he left and just. Doesn't cramp our style and sees to it that we all get to heaven. Lets us do as we please. But this is not the God of the Bible, nor the God in the end. If God is not righteous and just, then life is the gospel that Paul makes known and torturous. There would be no justice. And his kingdom would be tyrannous, one might say. But because God is just, and there would be no peace, abiding peace in his kingdom, because he is just, sin finds no home. There is a means and forever remains in his kingdom. In his presence and peace, righteous in securing our salvation, then it is no salvation to which he is brought. See, if God ceases to be right, but since God remains righteous, because he does not come to us but a new form of tyranny, justifying us, his salvation is true liberty. Compromise his justice. And let this be a great encouragement then to your heart, beloved in Christ. And let it be encouraged that your God is ever righteous. He is just. That no verdict of that he's subject to appeal to a greater court. No judgment of his is overturned by a future judge. His character, his is liable to being, is unchanging, and so are his just judgments. And in keeping with his character, which is ever the same, he pronounced you, you who are a sinner, he has pronounced you just of character. He has pronounced. There is therefore now God in Christ for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Pardoned of all your sin and accepts you as righteous in his sight. He has declared you, beloved, pardoned in your place and who rose again. Through faith in the one who died in. If an unjust judge declares you justified, what does it mean? Not much. Not much. An innocent calls into question your status. It leaves you liable to all the charges against you. But if the one who declares you righteous is himself righteous, then under the law, the penalty due to lawbreakers. And such is the character you need not fear is just. He is just. The character of our God, he, God, will be shown to be righteous in the last day. God shown to be righteous in the last day when he condemns the guilty. He will be shown who have rebelled against him. All who have transgressed him. All. But he is shown to be righteous here, his holy and his righteous law, even in the pardoning of the guilty. Because the and now, the ground of that pardon. In Christ's death on the cross, all the cross of Christ constitutes, our sin is poured out, the debt to God's justice is paid in all the wrath of God against. Do not need to wait until the end of history to find assurance. Christ Jesus, we can know that today of our forgiveness, that today through faith in Jesus Christ who died for the forgiveness. We can know those again for our justification. Do you know of sins? And who wrote, do you know that word of peace, that assurance of pardon? Look unto Christ Jesus, the one who suffered, endured the wrath of God for sinners, the one who suffered and died, who even sinners like you and me. Put your trust in him to justify. Well, Father, in heaven, how we do thank you for this. Let's pray. A just and righteous God, one who does not wink at sin, marvelous news, nor sin, but one who justly, one who does not ignore, whose righteous character is fully preserved, he judges it. Holy presence is in no way polluted by sin. Who's whole, Lord, for the grace of the gospel, that the one who is just, but we thank you, justifier, the one who declares sinners just, is also that accepts sinners as righteous, not guilty, who compromise his justice. We thank you for your justice and your, and in so doing, and does not come, are indeed faithful and just to forgive your grace, that you are to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and our faith is in, give us our sins, and who rose again. We do thank you and pray all of these things, Jesus Christ, who died. Amen.